To Ukraine now. Even though that country's fighters recently liberated Kherson from the Russians, Ukrainians are fleeing the city, fearing retaliation from Russian forces. And the country continues to rush to repair energy infrastructure damaged by Russian missile attacks. The barrages, which escalated in recent weeks, have led to rolling power blackouts. And this comes as Ukrainian authorities are warning of even more incoming attacks. Let's go to NPR's Joanna Kakissis, joining us from Kyiv. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, Robin.
And start with the power situation. What's it like?
So the power situation has improved in the last few days. Ukraine's power operator said on Sunday that producers are steadily restoring electricity and are now meeting about 80% of the country's needs. But that's with energy rationing in place. And Ukraine's deputy prime minister said about three quarters of cell phone coverage has also been restored as technicians have been rushing to repair towers. And Ukrainian power companies, as I said earlier, are encouraging people to ration energy, and they're rationing energy themselves through rolling blackouts. And people are doing things like not running washing machines or turning on their ovens. They're keeping their lights off. Many municipalities have also shut off street lamps. And I want to say something really quick here about generators. There's a decent number of people who have generators. They've purchased generators. Businesses have purchased generators. Our bureau is lucky enough to have one. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to work and we wouldn't be able to stay warm. But a lot of other people don't have generators, and there's a call out for those. Utility workers are working really hard to repair the power grid, but the weather is not helping. Snow is falling. Temperatures are dropping. The roads are really slippery and icy. I just saw a really bad road accident just yesterday. These are not the best working conditions. And all the Ukrainians I've spoke to have said they're trying to be patient, and they will be patient about the situation. And here's 32-year-old Olesya Shuprin. We met her on an icy sidewalk in central Kyiv.
We can get used to anything and adapt. Yes, there are moments when things don't go as planned, but compared to what's going on in the east and south, it's not even worth complaining.
She's referring to the east and the south where the ground war is still taking place.
Okay, and what remarkable resolve we're hearing there. Mm-hmm. But Ukraine's four nuclear power plants were taken offline after last week's air raids. There's been so much concern about those plants being targeted. Are they still out of operation?
So the nuclear power plants controlled by Ukraine are all back online, and which is really good because Ukraine gets like 50% of its power from nuclear energy. There's also another plant, the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. It's the biggest nuclear power plant in Europe, and that one is controlled by the Russians, and it's been controlled by the Russians since March. Shelling has been going on there for months. Each side blames the other. The International Atomic Energy Agency is really worried that the shelling could cause an accident, and they've said repeatedly that the area should be demilitarized. Now, over the weekend, the head of the energy company that runs this plant says he's seen evidence that the Russians are leaving. But the Russian government spokesman said today that this is not true, and the Russian troops are not going to pull out.
In the meantime, this idea of what it feels like to us, if Ukrainians just, you know, spackling together things as they get blown apart, can they do that as they go into the winter?
Yeah, so power is often restored within 24 hours of a strike, but that's at the current level. And the problem is, what if attacks come more frequently? That's going to be very hard to continue restoring energy at that pace, especially with more Russian strikes expected. I mentioned generators earlier. The European Parliament is promising to send generators, which are badly needed, especially for hospitals and, of course, homes. The Baltic state of Lithuania has been sending power transformers to Ukraine and is pledging to send more. And this is helpful because Ukraine needs a specific type of transformer used by post-Soviet countries, such as Lithuania. And most of Europe doesn't have these particular kind of transformers. And Ukrainian authorities are also emphasizing, you know, we're not out of the woods yet. It's not the first time Russia has hit Ukrainian energy and heating infrastructure, and it will not be the last.
Sweet, you said this is not the first time. And that's a phrase that's resonating a lot, we understand, because over the weekend, Ukraine commemorated the 90th anniversary of that famine that killed millions of Ukrainians. It was engineered by Stalin. Ukraine was then a part of the Soviet Union. It was his punishing move to collectivize farms. And we understand Ukrainians are very eager to compare Stalin to Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, this weekend, Ukrainians observed like you said, the 90 years since the Holodomor. This was a mass starvation that was caused by Stalin's forced collectivization. Between 4 and 7.5 million Ukrainians died during this time, in an enormous, enormous number. And Ukrainians never let people forget it. President Volodymyr Zelensky used this commemoration to launch an initiative he calls Grain from Ukraine, you know, sending wheat and other grains to developing nations to help tackle hunger and famine around the world. And in his speech, Zelensky said that the Russian invasion has hurt Ukrainians and the rest of the world.
The siege left thousands of people without food and water from the very beginning. We won't let them leave millions of people in the world without food and water.
You know, and since the beginning of the war, remember, Zelensky and his team have always tried to tie Ukraine's survival to the well-being of the rest of the world. And this was just one more opportunity to do that.
Well, Joanna, we're going to be checking in with you over the coming weeks and your team there in Ukraine. That's NPR's Ukraine Bureau Chief, Joanna Kakissis. Joanna, thank you. Stay safe.
You're welcome, Robin.